Thank you so much. I was going to pick on Janet Lee until she sang so well, so I'm not going to do it now. But there'll be a time. She lied to me. She gave me her wrong name purposely, didn't you, huh? Yeah. Am I okay on this now? Thank you. Take the Word of God this morning and go, if you will, please, to the book of Ephesians, although we'll not be there as long as we have been in previous messages in this book. If you will come down, and I was going to speak this morning on verses 15 down to 21 at least, and then I couldn't do it because when I got to verse 15, I seemed to have got stuck right there. I didn't get stuck on the whole verse, only on half the verse. And the first part, wherefore I also, I'm in chapter 1 of Ephesians, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. But I got caught on that statement, your faith, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. And so I'm wondering this morning, I'm wondering, can it be said of us, they've heard of our faith? They've heard of our faith. I think a church, faith is very important that people hear about their faith, believing God is going to do great things. So I want to deal with that subject of faith this morning, and that means I won't stay particularly in that particular book. I want to notice four things this morning about faith. I want to notice, first of all, the object of our faith. It isn't good just to have faith. You can have faith, but it's what you have faith in, the object of that faith. And then secondly, the order of that faith. You know, I find if you don't have your faith in proper order, I think you're going to be in trouble. And a lot of people are in trouble because it's not in proper order. Then thirdly, the obtaining of that faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, by what? The Word of God. That word is not the normal word logos, it's the word rhema. A very significant word for word there. And then fourthly, the overhauling of our faith. I think sometimes our faith needs to be overhauled. And Father, do a work in our hearts this morning as only you can, for Jesus' sake and for His glory. Amen. Notice here again in that particular verse, verse 15, faith where? In the Lord Jesus. That's the object. Now again, I told you that we would be leaving probably that passage and just go to other faith. So go, if you will, to Acts chapter 3. Now, I love the various 3:16 verses of the Bible, don't you? John 3:16 and 1 Timothy 3:16. All those are wonderful 3:16 verses. This is one of them right here. This is a classic verse. But we're going to look at that verse, and then we're going to go up and see why he said that. Look here in verse 16. And the name, and his name, through what? Faith in his name hath they made this man strong. And I will tell you today, unless your faith is in the one who really can give you that faith, and that faith has meaning, it ain't going to do you any good. I hear people, somebody said, I have faith in our country. I don't have any faith in our country. Somebody said to me one time, I have faith in you. He meant me. I said, don't have any faith in me. I'll let you down. The only one, the object of our faith needs to be in that name. Look here, and in his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong. And I wonder how strong you are today. I wonder how strong you may be today. Whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him had given this man perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Would you underline that, perfect soundness? I think that can be applied to our own lives. I thank God you can have perfect soundness in your thinking process. You can have perfect soundness in your mind if it's in that object, that one is in Christ Jesus. Look back with me and look at that scroll rather quickly. When I think about that, he's talking about the lame man, verse 1 of chapter 3, as I led up to that verse 16. Now Peter and John went up together in the temple, and the hour of prayer being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple asking alms of Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." Now there are three thoughts here about the lame man. I see the lame man looking, I see the lame man lifted up, and I see the man, lame man leaping. Look there with me. He said, look at verse 3 or verse 4. I'll hear again. Watch this. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look unto us. Look unto us. He said, look at us. However, when he made that statement there in verse 4, he immediately wanted that man to focus on Jesus Christ. Look there in verse 5, 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Somebody said, you can tell that guy was a preacher. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You notice they pointed him to Jesus. May I say this? There was a great miracle in that life of that man, but only when Jesus Christ gets the credit can a miracle be performed. I want you to make sure you understand that. It's not faith in anybody else. Only He can perform the miracle in your life. And so somebody may say, look to me, simply to give the information. In reality, Jesus Christ must get the credit. Lame man looking. And then I see, secondly, a lame man lifted up. And look there in verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. I like that. And his feet and his ankle bones received strength. I see the lame man looking. I see the man lifted up. By faith in him, he can walk. And by faith in him today, you can walk spiritually the correct way. You are lame in your walk without that name of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad today that he can strengthen our walk. And our walk can be strengthened in Jesus Christ. I see not only the lame man looking and the lame man lifted up, but I see the lame man leaping. I like that verse 8. Heard me say that before. It's all right to be political Pentecostal, Baptist, but not Pentecostal. It's all right to give praise unto God. He leaping stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple. Walking, leaping, and what? Praising God. Someone said, faith is the ear that hears what God is saying, the eyes that see what God can do, the hands that are lifted up in praise of Him because of what He has done, and feet that walk in obedience to His will. Let us have that kind of faith. And that kind of faith is childlike faith. Have you thought about that? That's not a faith you get by some intellect or by going to Ambassador Baptist College or any other institution. It's not coming to it's faith as a child. Except you become as a little child. I thank God for that childlike faith. I'm reminded of a story. I just hope that I can read this without shedding tears. Every time I read this story, it really happened. It's a story about a little boy, little 7-year-old boy, became very ill and was diagnosed with a defective heart. After running several tests, the heart doctor met with the parents of this little boy and informed them of the seriousness of the situation. Then he proceeded to tell the little boy what was wrong with him. He said, "You have a very bad heart, and I'm going to have to open and look inside to see things that the test didn't show." The little boy said, with a faint smile, "You'll find Jesus. You see, He lives in my heart." The doctor did his best to get back to the little boy's problem, but all he could hear was a little fellow saying, "It's okay. You'll find Jesus living there." He never met a patient like this. The next day, the doctor went back into the room after a restless night, hoping again to explain to the little boy how damaged his heart was. He said the arteries and the vessels are severely damaged, and the heart is greatly diseased, and he was going to have to open the little fellow's chest to see what else was there. The boy said, "Oh, I know what's there. You see, you'll find Jesus. He lives in my heart." The doctor left the room very shaken by the little fellow's response. After the operation, he sat down again next to the little fellow to tell him and his family what he saw. He knew the little boy had only a short time to live, and then he and somehow wanted to prepare him for the end. The little boy, with a faint voice, asked, "What did you find, doctor?" With tears running down his cheeks, he said, "I found Jesus." The little boy closed his eyes and soon went home to be with Jesus, for he had Jesus in his heart. My prayer is that's faith. Childlike faith. That faith that will do something in our lives and touch others. If our faith does not touch others, there's something wrong with it. I see not only the object of our faith, as I see that story of the lame man looking, lame man lifted up, lame man leaping because of faith. Faith of a child. But notice secondly with me the order of faith. Go with me to the book of Hebrews and go there to chapter 11 and verse 1. I see three thoughts there because I think there's an order to faith. In that verse, I see now faith, the need of faith, and the nature of faith. I hope you don't miss that. I see, first of all, the now of faith. He said, now faith. Would you underline that thought for a moment? Oftentimes, a lot of God's people are trying to live on yesterday's faith. They're trying to talk about, I don't know how many times I've seen people give testimonies and talk about something that happened 5 or 10 years or a year ago. No. We need now faith. Faith that operates now. Faith that is going to do something now. I thank God for now faith. And that's the order. Somebody said, what's happened to your faith? Well, you left it yesterday. Back there in the past. And you need to have it now. Now faith. And we need to have that renewed faith every day. Not yesterday. That wasn't going to do you any good what happened yesterday. Apostle Paul said that in Philippians chapter 3, verse. Remember when he said, leaving those things which are behind? You know what he was talking about? He's talking about the great victories that he had. He said, I've just pressed forward to the mark. That's faith. Live now faith. Then I see the need of faith also in that word substance. Now faith is the substance. That word, substance, means confidence. Faith is to have confidence in God. Let me say it to you again. Faith is to have confidence in God in spite of our feelings or the circumstances around us or the consequences before us. We've got to have confidence. You see, I don't have any confidence in this government today, do you? But I do have a great deal of confidence in my God, and I'm thankful for that. I hear people all the time saying, what's the future going to hold? I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And I have faith in him. Somebody was telling me the other day, the United States Congress, I think their rating is about 8, 9, 10%. People believe they're going to be able to do anything. Well, that's because most politicians work their gums before they're elected, then they gum up the works once they get in. But my God has never gummed up any works because he's God. And so I not only see now faith. Do you have now faith? Oh, some people say, well, I remember. You know, if there's a time when you're living closer to the Lord than you are right now, then there's something wrong with your faith. You get that faith back. Get it back. Don't lose your faith. And don't plan on yesterday's faith, today's faith. But I not only see that need of faith, as well as that now faith, but I see the nature of our faith. Look there again in another word. Now faith, there's that for the substance, that's confidence, that's need of faith and things hoped for. Now that hope there is not the Las Vegas, I call it Las Wages hope, where I'm gambling. I'm not gambling. That word hope has nothing to do with gamble. It's a sure thing. Then he says, for the evidence. That word evidence comes from the word which is the word for convictions. Now, I can pretty well tell if a person's faith is working or not because if he doesn't have any conviction, he doesn't have much faith. Because I've discovered as I read the Bible, faith will bring about convictions, and convictions are essential to do a work for God. I'm so tired. There's a word we're using today in fundamentalism today that just... get upset. I'm getting old, and the older I get, the more I upset at the changes I'm seeing. Listen, people say, well, that's your opinion. Well, I got news for you. We need to have some folks with some convictions. It's not his side, my side, it's your side. There's only one side, it's God's side. That's convictions. And I've seen convictions being just thrown out left and right, whether it be music, whether it be dress, whether it be drinking, you name it, fill in the blank. Convictions. It doesn't make it. Look at verse 3. I drop down there to chapter 11, verse 3. Aha, he's going to give us an illustration. To faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Isn't that good? That removes the evolution. Oh, but you see, they're smart. They're experts. You know what an expert is, don't you? That's a little drip under pressure. That's all an expert is. And we got a lot of expertism going around today. But I want you to know this is the expert right here, the Bible. And the Bible says there, and through faith, and they say, well, the Bible's a myth. Well, they're mistaken. It is the living Word of God. And I have all the faith. I have now faith in this. I have that now faith in this book. I don't care. Listen, somebody told me not too long ago. They said, you know, they know where the Noah's Ark is. Wouldn't that be wonderful if they find out just to prove the Bible said don't mean a thing? Don't mean a thing. The Bible doesn't need, you know, a Bible's like a lion. You let a lion loose, it doesn't need to. Nobody else needs to defend a lion. Defends itself. This book will defend itself. And so I see here the order of faith. Now, you have it now. And then I see that need of faith. Do you need it now? Or do you think you don't need it today? And then the nature of faith. Convictions. Then I see, how do we obtain that faith? Well, you know, there's a passage over there in Romans. And that verse could be misunderstood if you're not careful. So go to Romans chapter 10, if you will, please. And look at verse 17 with me. Now, I do not hold, are you listening to me? I hope you are on this. This is not a lucky charm. You hear me? It's not a lucky charm. I think some people treat this book as a lucky charm. As long as I have one, I heard of it. A fellow said, when I get in trouble, I just hold the book. Well, if you get in trouble, the book needs to get a hold of you. That's the real issue there. But I look at that word, verse 17, and some people, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Well, that's not the normal word, logos. That's the word rhema. That's the word, translated word. What does that word mean there? It is It is a word, I think it has three thoughts to it, where we obtain faith. It's a word that stirs and speaks to your spirit. The spirit's the part of you that communes with God. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean this. I mean that word here has the idea of jumping off the pages of Scripture and into your heart. I'm going to ask you a question today. When's the last time anything in this book could jump off the pages of the Scriptures and jump into your heart? That's faith. I get so excited sometimes, I can't say, I've never saw that before. You know what God said? You didn't need it before. Like you need it now. It is a word that stirs your spirit. It's also a word that stirs us out to be needed in your life. Just when you need it. Just as I said it a minute ago. It's a word that not only stirs your spirit and speaks to you, jumps off the pages of Scripture, but it searches and meets a need in your life. Now, you don't know, a lot of people just go like this. That's not the way to study the Bible. One fellow did that. He turned the passage and he went out and hung himself. That's what the passage said. And he thought, I better not go with that one. He did it again. He said, I don't know what it said. Go do it now. Well, I didn't get anything out of that passage. So All times I'll go over there to the second, First Chronicles. I like First Chronicles, except for the first 10 chapters. I'm being blunt. So-and-so begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so. I go through that, and I say, Lord, help me get through that. It's the Word of God. I believe it's all inspired. Sometimes the Lord has stopped me and said, go look up one of those names. Woo! All of a sudden, that jumps off the pages of Scripture into my heart, stirs me, and meets a need that I didn't, that I was that I really needed. And it seeks a response in action. That word rhema only means to stir and speak to your spirit searches out a need, but it seeks for a reaction. It says, go out and do something with it now. How's your faith? You going out and do something with your faith? That's the key. Go out and do something with it. And so we looked here, the object of our faith in Him, the order of our faith, now faith, and then the need of faith, and then that nature of faith, and then here we looked at the painting of faith. My faith, listen, you show me a person whose faith is weak, and I'll show you a person who's missing this. My faith will grow weak and your faith will grow weak if we don't get in. I don't mean just read. I have a habit, had it for years, of reading my Bible three times a year. That don't mean a thing. That doesn't make me any spiritual than a guy who only reads it once a year, only half a year, whatever. It's what God, get out of it and jumps into my heart. That's going to make the difference. But then fourthly, I see here the overhauling of our faith. Sometimes our faith needs to be overhauled. What do I mean by that? Well, turn with me to Luke chapter 5. You have an illustration here that I hope you get here in Luke chapter 5. It's a story here that I think it shows that our faith often needs to be overhauled. I'm glad we have the object of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am thankful that we have there the order of faith. Won't do any good on yesterday's faith. Obtaining of that and letting it jump off the pages of Scripture and strengthen us. But I see sometimes our faith needs to be overhauled. You come over there to Luke 5, and it came to pass. Will you ever go through troubles? That's one of my favorite statements in the Bible. It came to pass. Thank God it didn't come to stay. Whatever's going in your life. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God, I like that, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of it, and they were washing their nets. Would you underline that, brother? That's we're going to see who they are. Here's old Simon Peter. Well, I often said that we'll know who he is when we get to heaven. His mouth will be in the shape of his foot. Always saying things that shouldn't be said. But here they're washing the net. Now listen. If you're not careful, you can have clean nets, a busyness, but not clean nets of blessings. They were washing the nets. Now listen to me, we're not careful whether we got lots of college students, faculties. You can get so busy with the Word of God that you miss the blessings. You can get busy keeping your nets clean and miss the blessings that you have need of, the nets of blessings. They were washing their nets, or if you're from Ohio, they were washing their nets, according to where you're from. And he entered to one of the ships with Simon's and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ships. And I want you to notice three thoughts here. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto him, I'm going to tell you what he said, launch out, let down, lift up. Three things he said in the text. He said, first of all, he said, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. You know something? You need to get out of shallow waters. Some of us are still in shallow waters in our Christian life. Get out of your shallow waters of unbelief and let God deepen your life. And you will not have a deeper life and you have a personal relationship with Him beyond salvation. He said, launch out. Get out of your shallow waters. Get out of your contentment of where you are in your Christian life. And then he said, and let down. Now look here in verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, I'll read it to you again. He said to them, launch out. Now let down your nets for a draught. Simon, I like here Simon. I don't know, but I have so much Simon in me. Anybody here besides me? The rest of you are lying. Or you're too tired to raise your hand. I don't know what it is. Simon answered and said, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. We've toiled all night. He said, launch out. Let down your nets. And he's responsive was, we've toiled all night. Now, I can almost hear Peter's thinking, Jesus, you were raised a carpenter. But we're fishermen. We're the experts. Don't tell us how to fish. We know how to fish better than you know how to fish. I want to tell you, sometimes we tell God, I know how to run my life, God, better than you know how to run my life. Same thing. Same thing when we get off on our own, when we get out there on our own, we're telling God the same thing. And whenever we go out on our own, I'll tell you what we always get, nothing. We've been doing this all night, Lord Jesus, and we haven't caught a thing. But he says, I like verse 5. Let's read it again. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night. He just, you know, it's amazing what we tell God that he already knows. So he had to inform. Who is Jesus? He's God. I think sometimes we have to inform God of things that God must have a laugh at. I want you to know, Peter, I already knew that. Just want you to know, I'm God, I already knew that. We've taken it, and he says, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Now, I think this, that's why I think his faith needed overhaul. He's saying, I'm going to let down the net, and he's saying to himself, but we're not going to get a thing. Because I've already been doing it all night, my way. And God is simply saying, and I'd say not just Jesus, but God is saying, let's do it my way. Let's get your faith overhauled here. Something wrong with your faith. If you can toil all night and get nothing, and so many of us are toiling in life, and we're not getting much out of it. And the Bible says here in verse 6 and 7, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And the word there in the Greek is the idea it was just beginning to break, and it won't be long to lose everything they had. So we see not only did they launch out and let down, but now they're going to lift up. And they're lifting up that net, and they beckon one of their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. You do it my way, I will really abundantly bless you in such a way that I'll... don't want to believe it. Notice what Peter does. Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. That's a good thing to say. Peter, you needed your faith overhauled. And God cannot overhaul your faith until you admit there's something wrong with your faith. And that's what he meant when he said, I'm a sinful man. Amen. Listen, when I said, nevertheless, we'll do what you say, in his own heart he'd say, we ain't going to get no fish no how. You know what God did? He just calls all the little fishes, big ones, little ones, all kind of come around the net, when they jump in the net. Oh, Lord, for he was astonished. Their there's a problem. That's an indication. We should never be astonished what God does. We should be rejoicing. But the word astonished is a word that he had such unbelief that he was literally amazed that it happened. And all that were with him, as the draught of the fishes where they had taken. So here was James and John, the sons of Zebedee. I think they were all in the same ship. In the sense that they all doubted. They needed their faith overhauled. I wonder if you don't need your faith overhauled this morning. I wonder if there's something wrong with it this morning. Jesus said to them, and then he did two things here as we close this morning. It was so also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Jesus said unto him, Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. He launched out, he let down, he lifted up, and now he wanted them to live out their faith. Two things he told them to do here in this text. I hope you get it. He said, follow me. Look there at the verse 11. I'm going to jump back up to verse 10 in a moment. And when they had brought their ship to the lands, they forsook all and what? Followed him. We're experts. We know how to fish. We know how to run our own lives. We don't need any help from the outside. Yes, you do. And they followed him. But notice verse 10. For a long time, for many years, they were catching live fish and letting them die. Now they were going to go fishing for dead men and bring life to them. Isn't that better? Isn't that what God wanted to teach him? Before, Peter, what you've been doing all these years, catching live fish that's going to die. Now we want you by faith to go out and catch living, dying men that need life. That's what faith's all about. Father, I pray this morning as we close this service, you'll deal with our hearts. I think of the little boy whose heart was defected. I think of that little fellow that told the doctor, Jesus lives within me, except he become as a little child. Lord, I pray this morning you'll deal with our hearts. I pray today, Father, that we understand the object of our faith where it is. It's the same place where they got saved in Jesus Christ. Another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Lord, if there are those here by chance, you can be a college. You can be a college student in a Bible school and still not be saved. I've seen it more than once. You need to be saved this morning. We'll be here to meet you. I wonder today, if there's something wrong with your faith, it needs overhauled this morning. Even as Peter just bowed, got down on his knees, and he said, I'm a sinful man. Maybe this morning, maybe, I don't know who it'd be. I just hope we believe that the altar is now. We need to find a place at this altar and say, dear God, I'm like Peter. There's a real problem with my faith this morning. I'll be honest to God, I don't think people have seen any faith in me at all. They don't hear of my faith. They hear of my complaining. They hear of my unhappiness. They hear of my misery, but they don't hear of my faith. What do people hear about you?